going above and beyond. Because we are true believers in this place. Because we understand that the way things have been must be destroyed. This is the BlackChannel.net radio. I am your host, your brother, your humble servant, the Black Authority. And tonight, I wasn't planning on broadcasting tonight necessarily. I wasn't actually planning on doing that, but I had a special reason for wanting to do this tonight, though. I've been in touch with Derek, who was the father of the 10-year-old who called in last week. I've been in touch with him since last week, and as a matter of fact, I had just let him know a while ago here, because he said that he'd be able to call us up tonight, so I'm going, that was 13 minutes ago, so he had been ready to call up then, so I told him that the phone lines will be opening at the beginning of the broadcast, so the phone lines are now open. I don't know. He might be trapped under some child support subpoenas right now. I don't know if that's the case or not, but definitely everything else is wide open, so he can give us a call. And as a matter of fact, you can give us a call, because it's going to be very, very important here tonight that, understand, I place blame where it belongs. I credit where credit is due, and I place blame where blame belongs. I do not play favorites. I know there are a lot of people who wish I would play favorites, but I don't. I do not want the situation as it has existed and persisted to go on any longer. I want a perfect Black society. That's what I want. I want a perfect Black society. And that means that we have to hold everybody to a standard that might be new for a number of you. But it's not something that's going to go away. Not here, it's not. I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines, and you all are definitely welcome to call in. The number is 646-787-1933 is your access code to the Blackest Radio program on the face of the planet today. We have a couple of phone calls on the line right now. I'm looking for Derek in particular. I think this might be his number here. Let me check and see here. Is this Derek on the line?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Derek on the line. Derek on the line.
Now, where is your son?
He's right in the park.
So you want to speak to him?
No, I wanted to speak to both of you.
Okay, all right. Hold on. Hey, Zot.
Raheem.
Come. Yeah, we here. So how's it going, sir?
All right, everybody who's out there listening right now, let me know, because I'm going to adjust some of the sound levels here since his volume is a little low. I don't want there to be any artifacts coming from it, so if it goes up too much and it starts giving out this whistle or this whine or something like that, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to them listening. You wouldn't be able to hear it. But everybody in the chat room, if you do hear that, let me know. I'm going to adjust his level some, but if you hear that kind of thing, let me know, everybody. That way, see about adjusting it back down again.
Mm-hmm.
Now let
my man over there.
On.
Yeah, we were just waiting for you to finish your announcement.
Okay. Now, let's see if we can try talking with the boy now.
Okay, hold on.
Hello?
Hello, Zion.
Hi, wait, what's your name again?
You can call me Mr. Black.
Mr. Black, good afternoon.
Hello, son. Now, hi. I spoke to you last week, and I did want your father here because there are a few things in particular that I wanted to have specifics on. first of all, how did you get interested in, you're 10 years old, how did you get interested in wanting to start your own business?
Because I'm usually bored, so I just want to, like, start something.
Okay, say that again. I didn't quite make out what you said.
Say that I'm usually bored, so I just want to start something.
You're usually bored, so you just want to start something. Well, if you're going to start something out of boredom, it might as well be a business. Now, do you understand that a business is a lot of hard work?
Yeah.
You understand it's not going to be fun and playing video games?
I know that.
Okay, it's going to be a lot harder than school is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, are you sure you want to get wrapped up in this?
Yeah.
All right. Have you ever run a business before?
No.
Okay. We're dealing with a first timer. That's fine. Now, you understand there's going to be a lot that you have to learn about running a business successfully.
Yes.
Okay. And you're not going to be able to learn it all in just one evening or one year. It's going to take several years of hard work, studying, and training to be able to do that kind of thing. You do understand that, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Now, is there anything that you like to do other than playing basketball?
Soccer.
Okay. Is there anything that you like to do that is not sports related?
Do work.
Do work. What kind of work?
Homework.
Okay, well, homework is one place there. But I mean something else like playing the piano or drawing.
Yeah, I have a keyboard.
You have a keyboard?
Yeah.
Okay, have you taken any formal classes to learn how to play piano?
No.
Okay, well, that'll be the first thing you need to see. Having a keyboard is a fine start, but you need somebody to actually teach you how to play, so that you'll actually be able to read music. Otherwise, the keyboard won't be able to help you very much as far as starting a business is concerned. Have you written any music?
No, I practice.
Okay, you have practiced, but you haven't written any music yet. That'll be one of the next things that you're going to want to start on as well here. Now, I want you to think beyond just basketball, first of all, okay? Basketball is a wonderful and fine hobby to have, but there are a lot of other people who already play basketball, which means that trying to make a business out of it, you'd be competing with a lot of other people who are already doing that kind of thing. And that may make it kind of hard for you, okay?
Can you repeat that again? I couldn't hear you.
Well, you already have a lot of other people who know how to play basketball. So that might make it kind of hard for you to make a business out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you may want to start looking into other things, not just basketball, though. You want to start looking at other things beyond just basketball, okay?
Okay.
But we're going to use basketball as just an example, all right?
All right.
Since that's something that you already do. Now, you have to be able to make a business out of something. You have to be able to do it better than most other people do.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, you don't play basketball better than most other people. You probably play on a pretty good level for your age, but you're not playing it better than most other people your age. So what do you have to do in order to be able to learn how to play better than most people your age? Because people will only pay for your basketball talent if you can do it better than most other people in your group. So what would you have to do to be better than most of them?
I had to get better more at dribbling with my left hand.
Okay. So you're saying you need to practice with your left hand more?
Yes, I do.
Okay. You're actually going to need to practice with both of your hands, okay?
Uh-huh.
What's your accuracy right now?
You mean like the level?
Well, I mean your accuracy. Like what percentage of when you shoot the ball up, what percentage are you able to, what percentage of shots are you getting accurate?
The 3-point line.
He's not practicing enough. Have you had any, have they discussed formal training with you?
Yes, I have. Yes, they do.
Okay, they discussed it with you now? Your folks talk about training with you now?
Yeah, I'm at a basketball court now.
Well, that's good that you're at a basketball court. That's good. But I mean as far as having a really good basketball teacher.
Yeah, my dad is a good teacher.
Okay. Well, that's a good start. How long have you been playing, by the way?
I don't know. Since I was little.
Since you were little. You're still little, though.
I know, but I can't.
You're a big little, but you're still little.
Yeah.
Have you been playing for 1 year?
I say more than 1 year. I say about probably 2 years.
Probably about 2 years.
Okay. Yeah.
That's a good start to take a look at. That's going to take a little bit longer, though. Let me ask you something else, Zaheem. Have you ever considered doing something a little more predictable?
Predictable?
Something that you'll have more control over. Basketball is very competitive. You have a lot of other kids around the country learning how to play basketball, too. And because of that, it makes it very hard to make a business out of it because so many of them are playing. The other problem is that even if you are extremely well, most other children are not able to play that well, which means that people would be showing up just to see you, but they couldn't see you playing against other kids because you'd probably be much better than the rest of them.
Yeah, but, like, I can sell all the basketball things, though.
You can sell a lot of basketball things?
Yeah, like very old things.
Okay, things like what?
Say probably like cards or basketballs.
Okay, well, yes, that definitely would be an option for you, but that's only going to work if people want to see you play. So what you'd have to do is get people to be able to show up to see you play. That would be the thing you'd have to take a look at first. It's not enough that Zaheem knows how to play really, really well. Unless you're doing tricks with a basketball, you can't do it by yourself. If you're going to play competitively, then you would need other people to play against.
Well, I mostly play against people that are good. And I also play against my siblings.
Okay, you also play against who?
Yeah, my siblings.
Okay, you play against your siblings.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that is a good start. That gives you plenty of practice for basketball, and that's a good thing. Do you like to draw?
No, I'm not good at drawing.
You're not good at drawing. Do you like to write?
What?
Do you like to write?
Write?
Yes.
No.
Do you like video games?
Yes.
What kind of games do you play?
2K14, NBA, NFL, boxing.
Okay, so you like playing sports games?
Yeah.
That's really good. Have you thought about making them instead?
Yeah, my dad told me that. He was like, you go on a website, and then you can create your own game on your computer.
Okay, and what website have you gone to?
Khan Academy.
Okay, did you say Card Academy?
Khan Academy.
Khan, okay.
Khan, yeah, Khan.
Okay. And what games have you made?
Hold on, I'm trying to invent another basketball. Like, I'm trying to make more basketball.
You're trying to make more basketball?
Yeah, more basketball. Like, I'm trying to make minions. Little and despicable me minions play basketball against these tall minions.
Okay, so you want a lot of people playing basketball. Well,
yeah.
That's good. We're definitely glad to see that you really love basketball.
Yeah,
how about making a game that does something other than play basketball?
Make a game for basketball?
A game about something other than basketball.
About
that? Do you play other games?
Yeah, I told you. Boxing, NFL.
Okay, Zaheem, slow down for a moment, son. I already heard you talk about the sports game, son. That's why I'm asking you if you play something other than sports games, son. With me, okay?
Okay.
Do you play something other than sports games? Something other than that, different from sports games?
No.
Don't you think you should start looking at other things?
No.
Okay. Do you have some interest outside of sports?
Huh?
Do you have interest outside of sports as far as games are concerned? Do you have games that you like other sports games?
Math games.
Okay, well, there are other games out there like Tetris and Candy Crush and stuff like that. You don't play games.
I don't play Candy Crush. I used to play chess, but that's too boring.
Okay, you used to play what?
Chess.
You used to play chess?
Yes, I used to play it.
Okay, have you ever played Monopoly?
Yes, I played Monopoly.
You want to have some games that you can play besides sports games. Sports games are okay, but sports games are actually very simplistic. They don't rely on strategy, and they don't actually demand a lot of you psychologically. You want to try some games that actually require some skill and some strategy and tactics and thinking on your feet.
Keep your elbow in, bro.
Besides just basketball.
Basketball
and things like that. You want to have some games besides that. You need to have some games that you are able to look at. The problem with sports is that sports very often does not allow you The problem with sports is that you are only going to be as good as the people you're playing against. That's the problem with sports. If the people that you're playing against are really good, people will pay to see it. If the people you're playing against are not very good, or if you have to play by yourself, it's going to be unlikely that you're going to be able to get much of an audience from that. So that's why you want to look into things besides that. Sports games are nice, but the problem with the sport games is that they do not actually require you to do anything beyond just look at the screen. It doesn't actually require psychological faculty. Throw the ball or you run the ball. That's pretty much going to be it. So that's why you want to start. You're young and you want to start thinking in other directions beyond just sports. You're gravitating to sports because that's something that you do in daily life. And that's good. You want to be healthy. And it's good that you get out to exercise with sports and whatnot. You want to be healthy. But you don't want a situation where the only thing you
outside
know how
your
to
ring.
Play sports.
Some of your ring.
So that's why I want you to start investigating things beyond just playing sports, okay?
Okay.
Because you are going to be extremely limited in what you can do with sports. Sports is an activity that only allows people to watch. Either you're playing or you're watching. And since you're the person to be playing, that's all you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you like games, that's good. You like games. But games are really useless unless you're the person to make them. So your dad is taking you to a website where you can make games, although it doesn't sound like, I'm not really sure how complex those games are.
They're very complicated.
Yeah, that's what I mean. If they're, and simple, there's a place for simple, don't get me wrong. There's a place for simple. But you definitely want to have the ability to do more than just play basketball and football. Those are games that somebody else made. And there's only so much you can, I mean, what kind of basketball game can you make or play in that somebody hasn't already done 100 times before?
Make a lot of points.
Yeah, but what I mean is that can you make a new type of basketball game that hasn't already made? No.
No.
Everything that can be done with a basketball has already been done.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean now by it's very simplistic?
Yes.
Either you watch or you play, but there really isn't anything in between. I can watch Zaheem play against another team or against another person, or I can watch him do tricks with the ball, but that's all you can do with it. You can't do anything besides it. You can't play chess. You can't play do anything else with it. You can watch. We can play somebody else, play with ourselves, or watch Zaheem play with somebody else, or play with himself.
Okay.
So that's we want to have a game where we can do more than just that. Basketball is pretty much. You've done pretty much everything you can do with it already before you were born.
Okay.
So why don't we come up with a new game, Zaheem?
A new game? I have no ideas for a new game.
Why don't you start there then?
Okay.
Why don't you start with a new type of game?
Okay. I don't have one.
You don't have one. Yes, you've said that several times now, Zaheem. Why don't we try something new?
Because you keep on asking the same questions.
Yes, I'm waiting to come up with an answer.
Okay, but can you ask different questions?
In life, people do not just ask you a question once and then stop. They want to come up with an answer, Zaheem, and you can't sit there throwing tantrums like you are right now. You're supposed to come up with an answer.
Okay, well, I don't have an answer.
And that is why I'm saying come up with one. That's called being a business. That is what being a business owner is, Zaheem. Being a business owner is the art of fixing and solving problems. Right now you have a problem. And the problem is we need a new type of game. So this is a problem for you to solve. And we don't want it to be sports related. We want it to be something totally different so that we can make sure that people will like it.
Okay.
So what can we do besides dunk a basketball?
All right. Besides playing basketball, like, Oh, it's very hard to come up with. It's hard.
Then that is your new assignment, Zaheem. Basketball is a wonderful hobby, but it's somebody else's game. It's somebody else's hobby, and too many people are already doing it. So let's come up with something new, something that Zaheem owns. so that Raheem can make all the money from it. That is your new job. When you figure that out, now you can make
Hello?
A business.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah. So, he got endorsed. He seen everybody else play, so he wanted to go back and play. So that's why he got kind of like, you know, frustrated because he wanted to go play.
He got frustrated because I was asking him to think.
Oh, okay. I told him to calm down because he said that, you know, you're asking him the same question.
I asked him to come up with a new type of game, and he is instead being frustrated. Now, being frustrated never killed anybody.
Yep.
Do you know the amount of frustration level at Asian schools?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I saw a lot of documentaries, especially in Japan. And in China, yes.
And have you seen what they do to kicking our butts when they come of age?
Yes, sir.
Dad, I'm frustrated. Wasn't an excuse at my house, and it shouldn't be an excuse at yours.
Hold on, say it again, Jason. I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
Being frustrated, saying, Dad, I'm frustrated, that was not an excuse at my folks' house, and it shouldn't be one of yours either.
Yes, sir. He didn't say that. I'm just saying that he got frustrated with the question.
Dad, I'm frustrated with him asking me over and over again, so what are we going to do? I want to go back to playing basketball. Let me go back to playing, Dad. Thinking is too frustrating. I will be able to build power with an influence by throwing tantrums like my mom does. Because somebody will just let me have my way, because telling me to have my way is a lot easier than raising me. Raheem needs to start hearing no in his life more. He needs to start hearing, I want to go play basketball. No. But, Dad, no. I'm tired of studying. This is boring. I want to go play. No. And if you keep that up, you're going to be punished. Zaheem's 10-year-old competition in Asia and India, their parents ain't hearing, no, I'm frustrated. Let me go play basketball. They're too busy trying to get power, wealth, and influence. I'm taking a look at how... Now, you're going to blame that one on his mother?
Of course not.
Then where is he?
You want to speak to him again?
I'm asking you that question.
Oh, yeah, he's right here.
Raheem needs to find something to do other than play basketball. He's got all of his eggs and all of his eggs in a basketball basket, literally. He's got everything he wants to do revolves around playing basketball, playing sports. And as black adults, we understand that that's a wonderful thing for a child, but as a lifelong skill, there's not very much potential there. So do we allow him to keep chasing something that ultimately cannot go anywhere, or do we help him go in a direction where he can be master of his own fate?
Of course. The latter. Of course, the latter. That's why I'm here, to give him that balance.
Let's talk about his games.
Excuse me?
Let's talk about his games.
His games, as far as the games that he played this season?
Not the ones that he's playing with you right now, no. I asked him about making video games, and he said
that he could.
Now, I'm assuming that this website was actually using templates.
Yeah, they give you, like, tutorials, and they walk you through, like, steps on beginning code. It's like a free outsourcing that an MIT grad that came up with.
Okay.
K-H-A-N Academy.
Yeah, because he kept saying Karn. In any case, I'm not really sure how much he got out of it, but I do think...
No, he didn't get much. He didn't get much, but
But I do think
but he saw I'm sorry, but he seen his brother progressing, and then that's when he wanted to jump in and try to take over, you know what I mean? So he saw how much fun his brother was having.
You're doing it again.
What's that?
You're doing it again. As I was saying before I was so rudely interrupted, I'm not really sure how much he got out of it. However, it's a good start. More focus he put onto that since he has been introduced to it, and he does understand some of the basic mechanics. I think that would be a much better area of study and expertise for him, especially at 10 years old. I can show you 12-year-old Indian kids writing their own apps for the App Store and for Google. I can show you 12-year-olds writing their own apps. Why is it your son can't do that? I'm telling you that it's time to officially trash the basketball lessons. I think his mind would be a lot better used and a lot better focused in that direction. The video game Angry Birds is based on a basic physics engine. I'm watching 14-year-old white kids make their own derivatives of Angry Birds. He's 10 years old. It is what interests him and what does not interest him about these games that you would want his insight on. You already know that it needs to be programmed. He can give you a kid's eye view of what will make a game interesting and what not.
Okay. Hello?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought we got disconnected, but go ahead.
You'll know if we get disconnected. As it stands, we definitely have a disciplinary issue there. However, most children, except for me when I was his age, I was an outrageously focused child. However, take a look at the jaded and cynical adult this made me into. In any case, you don't, okay, that's not the time to be aiming. But in any case, you want to see about working on that aspect of it. Does he have a computer?
Yes, he has a desktop. And we talked about getting him a laptop, but like you said, he's a 10-year-old, so he's not very responsible with the other devices that I have gotten for him. So, and I just, we had to talk about that, matter of fact, just today. Because I had to enroll him in summer school, and he had a hissy fit or whatever, but totally, if you act right, then you won't have to be in summer school, but because he missed out on the opportunity to go to, because at MIT, they have a summer camp for kids or whatever to do, coding and everything. So, but he missed out on that because now he got to go to summer school. But, I mean, he don't have to, but I enrolled in him because he didn't do so well this past semester. So, but definitely, he has a desktop.
Well, first of all, he shouldn't have a desktop by himself. It should be one he can be supervised on. And that's the first thing. A 10-year-old should not have a desktop in his room. He certainly shouldn't have a laptop.
Yeah, it's not only that. He has cable in his room. So, and like I said, I don't know, we're not supposed to bring up this other party, but that request of getting that particular device out of the room on death is, but go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, what you're supposed to be doing is getting out of that condo you love so much so that we can have...
Oh, brother, we've been talking to realtors all week. Believe me, you. We've been talking to realtors all week, and I spoke to my landlord. I will not be renewing the lease, so...
Once you do that, then you can go get custody of your son, and as a matter of fact, you need to have a psychologist to evaluate your son. So that they can go into court and explain to the judge some of the problems in his development that they're seeing. Because he spent most of his time with her, and he's ended up in summer school at 10 years old. He's already failing in school at 10 years old, being with her the majority of the time. And if you get her in court with your attorney questioning her about the son's failures, being with her most of the time, she's going to wild out like she did on the phone with me. And that's what you want the judge to see. You want him to see her wild and out so that you can see, Your Honor, see where these disciplinary problems come from. The psychologist says this is where it comes from. You saw it for yourself. It's time to let me have a crack at the bat.
Yes, sir.
And let's try me in the driver's seat now, and let's see how that goes. Because what I just heard on this phone from him, that's not a good sign. And don't tell me that his teacher's not seeing the same behavior. And she'll swear up and down that she's not doing anything wrong, but this boy is flunking out of school in fifth grade. If you're going to summer school, you're on your way to flunking out. And he's only in fifth grade?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. So
what that means is that it's going to be very, very difficult for you to affect any change. But for you, you should be treating this like an AIDS patient does their retrovirals. An AIDS patient understands that if he does not take his retrovirals religiously every day, that he's courting death. One guy said it very well. I see taking my AIDS medication as my second job. I've got my primary job that I make my income from, and taking my AIDS medications on time 3 times every day, that's my second job.
Mm.
And you need to see getting a place where you get custody of your son. That's your second job. Transit authority is your first job. Getting the second place is your second job, so that you can stop this madness, because he's already becoming a disciplinary issue at 10. In 3 more years, there won't be very much you can do with him.
Mm.
And that window is going to close hysterically shortly. Not just ridiculously, but hysterically. And Stephanie in the chat room, she brought up a very good point right now. From some of his behaviors, did you notice that twice he was contacting me without one of you being aware? That's a pattern of behavior that somebody should be monitoring for a 10-year-old.
Hold on, I didn't hear that first part. Say it again, please.
You're a bit deaf. 2 times he has contacted me. On both occasions, one of you was unaware that he was contacting me.
Yes. All right, how you doing, sir? All right.
He's already learned how to sneak around like that. Now, what do you think he'll be sneaking off and getting into in 3 years?
Yeah, Lord knows. You know, all kind of stuff.
3 years. Forget 3 years, 2 years. And what is the average age of the American child who starts drinking?
Early teens?
Around 12 years old. Starting to get it now?
Yes, sir.
So if somebody does not step in and give him a vocation and insist on some discipline in his life at an early stage, he is going to be lost for good. You don't have years, brother. You don't have decades here. You really don't even have years anymore.
It is critical.
I think for him, you've introduced him to programming. I am a firm believer that you should ask children what they would like to do. I asked him what he would like to do. He said basketball. I gave him a couple of ideas. That's wonderful. I'm also a firm believer, should I say I'm an even more firm believer, in children being guided in the direction that they should go. Because, you see, when you ask a child what would you like to eat, he's going to say pizza, ice cream, and cookies. That's what he's going to say.
McDonald's
and that's the only example that you need that lets you know that you cannot allow children to raise themselves, because they will go for what tastes good and feels good. And that is not the way you bring up an adult. An adult is raised with responsibilities, and most of our responsibilities are things we would rather not be doing. But we have to learn how to make a life out of it. And he may not be very keen on learning programming at 10 years old, but in 5 years, he will be kissing your feet and thanking you. Even though that wasn't what he wanted to do at 10. We do not allow 10-year-olds to make their own decisions. We don't allow 10-year-olds to sign a contract. They don't have the cognitive faculties to be able to determine what is best for them. That's your job.
Yes, sir.
Right now, if it were my child and I had a choice between a child doing basketball and a child doing programming, that's a real easy decision in my world, no matter what he thinks is best for him. If he knew what was best for him, he wouldn't be flunked in fifth grade.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he's in summer school, because he's actually flunked fifth grade, and you want to try to get him passed before next school year starts. Yeah, you're supposed to nod your head right now and say, yeah, that's pretty much bad.
Well, no, I'm in total agreement, because they didn't, this wasn't referred. I had to inquire about it because the teachers didn't make no mention of it. And once I saw his final grades, I was like, nah, this can't go right. So
yeah,
I had to go to school and get him registered.
They didn't say anything to you because teachers are under pressure because they know that they get graded on passing or failing. So they weren't going to say anything to you. And furthermore, is his teacher white?
Of course. Yeah, also from a white.
Okay, so of course she's not going to say nothing because by the time you all get hip to the fact that boy's done failed, he knows the mama ain't going to do nothing because she's afraid that if you find out, you'll take it to court. And the teacher's not going to say anything because flunking black children is her second job. So if she can prevent you all from figuring out that your boy is repeating the fifth grade and you all are wondering why he's coming back for the second year, y'all expecting him to get sixth grade books and can't figure out why you can't take him to the middle school.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're trying to figure out what middle school to enroll your son in and find out, no, he won't be going. As far as she's concerned, she has struck a blow for the white piece by helping your son to flunk. A black male, and they want to get the school to prison pipeline up and going for your son as quickly as possible. They want to get him on the fast track to juvie hall. And if his mama ain't doing right and his daddy ain't doing right, all the teacher has to do, all they have to do is neglect him for a few years, and by that time the damage is permanent.
Mm.
Now, furthermore, you need to stay on top of these school teachers the whole year on these things. You need to see every report card. Because, you see, if you see all the report cards, you will know whether he's passing or not. Get to a point. Once you get the second report card with a straight F on it, you know that he's getting ready to fail. You know he's getting ready to fail. And when you see D's on it, you know you're in trouble. Somebody has not been watching his report card all year. That would be you. Because you would not have to have inquired to the teacher if you had been watching his report card all year. It's June. You would not be just now finding out in May or June. You would have known all this back in November. If the school year starts in August there like it does here, you would have known by no later than January that there was a big, big, big problem.
September, it starts there, yes, and I've been aware of all four quarters, the lack of progress that he hasn't made.
Yeah. You would have known by November, from September to November, first quarter, November to January, second quarter, you would have known by then. You wouldn't have had to wait till May. You weren't doing your job. Let this be a wake call for you that you have to take care of that. And by the way, not only do they give out report cards, I'm pretty sure they give out progress reports. And you need to know all of his teachers by name. You need to know every single one of them. And if it's been more than 45 days and you ain't heard nothing, a progress report, a report card or something, you need to be on the phone with them saying, yeah, this is Aheen's father. Yeah, I know about his mama. I'm calling you up. I haven't heard nothing. So just in case he's gotten funny with the report card or whatever, let me find out what his grades are doing. Teachers are far less likely to try some bull crap with a child who has an active parent.
Mm-hmm.
They're far less likely to try that mess. Because you have to understand, as a white female, she sees it as her job to flunk him, and she sees the mother as her key to doing it. So she wants to avoid you by all costs. She don't want to fool with you at all. Because she knows that fathers are very much likely to step in. So they want to keep you out the picture as much as humanly possible. Everything's great. Everything's fine. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't try to run no game on me. Let me see that report card, kid. My son's got two Fs. What the hell did you call fine? And you didn't think this was worth contacting me over? Because I've been contacting you. So you got to stay on top of that. You need to go, first of all, you need to go back and get all of your son's report cards for the last 2 years.
Okay.
You need to have documentation of all this stuff of how he is doing school. You need to have documentation of all that. Because right now, you're talking about going into court and you're going in there empty-handed. And contrary to popular belief, most attorneys will not tell you everything that you need. That's the sad part of it. You have to do this stuff yourself. Your child is supposed to be perfect in every way in every part of his life. And if there's something in his life that is deficient, you need to have documentation of all that. Behavior difficulties, getting into trouble, failing in school, any domestic incidents, police reports, whatever. You're supposed to have all that. And if you don't, you're walking in that court empty-handed. You see, I'm not the guy who whines about court systems. I'm the guy who tells you all what you need to do so you can beat the system. Other folk out there whine about father's rights, stuff like that. I don't whine about it. I tell you, you need to do X, Y, Z, and you can get your father's rights.
Definitely.
But if it's my son, I'm not asking you for a damn thing. I'm taking. Had one dusty broke nigga in the comment section of my video the last time that you were on. He's in Louisiana trying to tell me what you can't get in Louisiana court. I ended up blocking him immediately. You don't come on my videos. I live in Louisiana trying to tell me what the Louisiana court system will not give you. No, you're just... And his name is Scooter. A grown man calling himself Scooter. He does not have, nor does he want, parental responsibilities. So I'm not cutting no slack on that. If your son shows promise at programming, that's what you need to be on his ass about. He needs to spend the whole summer going to summer school programming. And if that woman gives you any trouble whatsoever, you need to record your phone calls. Matter of fact, you need to already be doing that.
Yeah, I have texts and emails, so...
Well, I didn't ask you that. You need to be recording your phone calls.
Okay.
And she can record, if she's listening, she can record hers too, by the way. This will help keep everybody honest. But I'm not going to have no more of this bull crap about you saying you want what's in the boy's best interest and she saying she wants what's the boy's best interest. And meanwhile, this boy is failing his way out of school at 10 years old. Y'all's negligence as parents is destroying this boy. And he's only 10. And somebody better step in there and do something now. And let me tell you, one of you wants to get involved with this, okay? One of you wants to get involved. You don't want me getting involved.
No, sir.
Because my view on the whole world is downright damn me cynical. Because trust me, I held an Indiegogo for 7 a.m. I will hold another fundraiser for Zaheem. Don't think I won't if I will. I'll tell everybody, ladies and gentlemen, I will foot half the attorney's bills on this if you all will foot the other half. Remember, this broadcast ain't enough getting done quickly enough. Let's save one. Damn, feed the children. Let's save one child.
Wow. Yes, sir.
All I can say is if you don't think I can get people to contribute, you better go look at my Indiegogo and think that over. If they put in $15,000, I'll put the other $15,000 out of my own pockets. Damn, Obama, that's change I can believe in. So, but you know what the good news is, Derek? It ain't going to come to that. It's not going to come to that because you are going to come swinging to the rescue. And that is good news because that is your son. And as a black man, you would never be able to show your face in public again if you allowed something so ridiculously avoidable as what we see occur in front of us right now to continue. So what Derek is going to do is Derek is going to get in touch with his schools, and if they put up resistance, Derek's lawyer will get in touch with the schools, and we will get a hold of all of Zaheem's report cards for the last 24 months. Don't be surprised if the schools get a little apprehensive about that because they're going to be scared that they're first in line behind the barrel of the shotgun. Well, in front of the barrel of the shotgun, and you know what? They just may be, but them's the breaks. You should have been doing your jobs up there. Now everybody gets their ass beaten. Now, once Derek has that information in hand, Derek is going to see about having his son psychologically evaluated so that we can get somebody to speak on exactly what they're seeing from this child. Because Derek's word in court don't mean nothing, but a paid professional's word in court does mean something. You have to approach this like a criminal trial. The judge does not believe you. They believe your forensics expert because he's the guy who's been to school and is trained to evaluate this. And in my professional opinion, Zaheem is taking up after... Now, whatever your professional says after that is what the judge is going to listen to. Zaheem takes after one of his parents. Which one? The one he spends the most time with? Well, in my professional opinion, he takes after... And whatever he says next is going to be for or against you. We have our documentation. We have our psychologist. And if it were me, we'd be in court every 90 days. I would be filing court actions before the previous court action was finished. And we will just keep doing this. We'll keep doing this until he's over here. Everything you do will be under a microscope. Whoever has custody of him, I would make sure everything was under a microscope. Now, all those other things to the side, what are you going to do now?
Well, I took the first step in letting my landlord know I won't be renewing the lease, and I just, you know, contacted various realtors and just going to go through as far as me getting a larger unit. And the school, we always been in contact. Whenever there's a situation, emails, phone calls, all of that, you know. So that hasn't been an issue with them communicating and me going to the school and speaking to all the teachers all at once and them giving me the lowdown of his behavior in class or his good behavior in class. So, and then with that, like you said, get all the documentation from school and go to the court. File for custody like I've done 3 years ago, because it's been a 5-year off and on issue with the child support and me countering that with the custody motion. So, and then from there we just gonna see what happens. But like you said, he's been evaluated because there was I'm not sure if I should bring it up, but there's been a DSS child issue involving her where somebody said something or whatever, and people did come and they provided a psychological evaluation for him.
That'll be something for you and your attorneys to take care of there. Whatever other documentation, paperwork, incidents, whatever, that'll be something for y'all to handle. What I am saying is it needs to get handled. I don't need all the gruesome details. What I'm saying is you already know to handle it.
Definitely.
And business is not getting handled, and it's time to handle it. It's time to handle it. Right now, that boy needs to be playing about 5% basketball and 95% using his brain. Because he's learning early that if I throw temper tantrums, mom and dad just want to be my buddy. Black folk have a horrific habit because we have so many immature black people who are just growing older. They're not 25-year-old adults. They're 25-year-old children. and they're trying to treat their children like their friends. Your child is not your friend. Your child is your child. And you just treat your child like what they are, your child, not your friend. And right now, he's playing this game where if he acts displeased with y'all, he's playing both of you against each other. If I act upset with mom, she'll let me do what I want to do because she doesn't want dad. She doesn't want me thinking dad's the favorite. And if I act upset with dad, he'll let me do what I want to do, or he'll be scared that mom will be my favorite. Son, the judge said it doesn't matter which one of us is your favorite. See, that's where I come from. Son, it doesn't matter which one of us is your favorite. The judge said, you're with me whether I'm your favorite or not. And in 5 years, he'll be thanking you.
Well, there's never been that confusion with him, him thinking that I'm his friend. Leave me yours.
Well, from what I saw on the phone tonight, you can't make that statement as confidently as you think you can. Now, what do you know about programming?
I know a little bit about it. I've been doing scripts. Excuse me?
You cannot teach what you do not know. So you need to learn more also.
Well, I just finished doing Linux. So there's a little, Windows operating system. So we had to write batches and scripts for that course. So I know a little bit about the basics.
Introducing him to coding is okay, all right? But you really need to start with something like HTML or something like that. Something where he can do things that are actually applicable. What you want to find out is what does he like to do on the computer, and then go to work with getting him to do that. If he likes a certain type of game, go to work on that. Not sports games. Something more along the lines of something simple like Candy Crush or Tetris or something like that. Something more simplistic that requires creativity to make up for flashy graphics, because the sports games are not really creative, they're just flashy graphics. That's why they put all of their money. So you want to get with something like that, but what you really want to do, because you live in Boston, you said IT, buddy, you're tripping over tutors for computer programming all over the place. You're in the number one place in America for math institute and technology, so Massachusetts Institute of Technologies, but, I mean, for math and computers, you are in the number one place in the United States for that. So that means you're tripping over computer tutors all over the place. Why doesn't he have one? Someone who can teach a child the basics of computer programming. If you don't have somebody, put an ad in the damn paper. Or better yet, go to MIT and tell them that you want somebody there who can train him and that you're willing to pay for tutoring. You'll have 50 students knocking themselves over. Put some of them white boys to work for you, showing your son
yes, sir,
how to build
yes,
power, wealth, and influence.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's not hard unless we want it to be hard. I'll let you have the last word.
Thank you for the constructive criticism, and I appreciate you taking your time out and discussing, issues with my son. And from the previous broadcast, the positive that you did say about me, I appreciate that because a lot of people focus on the negative, which is fine. That's why I'm here to straighten, to iron out some kinks, so. And then overall, I'm here, listening to you and Professor Black Thought. So, and Black first, brother.
I'll be checking back with you.
Brother, you have my math, you got my email, I'm here, so, and I know how to reach you, so.
And I appreciate you reaching out and you taking the time out again.
Well, we certainly hope so here. I'm going to attempt to remain optimistic about some of these things. At least I'll try. At least I will attempt to remain optimistic about some of these things. I'm certain us all something good to be talking about here shortly. Why don't we try checking back in with you here in a few weeks?
Okay. And Tuesday, Wednesday. But, you know, Saturdays and Sundays with this new schedule, I get off early. So that's the that's
oh,
a plus
good. That'll make it easier for me to get in touch with you on Saturdays since you get off early on Saturdays. I think that's what you were wanting to tell me right now, wasn't it?
Yes, sir. Because 10 o'clock is much earlier than 1 o'clock, you know what I mean? So I'm not sure, you know, what you guys' definition of early is, but for me, 10 o'clock is as early compared to getting off at 1:30, you know what I mean?
That'd be fine. We'll be in touch.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Now, what did you think of that, Mona?
Okay. First of all, I don't think he's very sincere. And maybe I'm an old-school mother. I think he called in to save face. From what I heard from Zaheen was a lack of discipline and a little flip mouth. And that he has a disrespect for elders. Because when he talked back to you and when he said you were repeating the same thing, me as a mother, I would have got my son back on the phone to apologize to you for talking in that manner.
Well, first of all,
I think that
tells you which parent he takes after. That's the first thing. And the second problem is that it also tells you that the father is a submissive personality to the female.
Exactly. I think they both display some dysfunction and that they're placing the responsibility on one another. Now, I heard him say that he heard all along, or he knew all along, that the baby was doing bad. So they're just letting Zaheen do what Zaheen wants to do. Me as a mother, he would not be playing any basketball. You don't get to do what you want to do until you do what you are required to do. His job as a little boy is to go to school and get good grades. He's failing in class. Why is he playing basketball? And why is he with his father right now playing basketball if he has to go to summer school? So who is the parent here? So I would suggest that both of them get some court-ordered parenting courses.
Kind of makes you wonder where the whole damn family is, though, you know? Like the grandparents. Oh, never mind. We already went into that, didn't we?
Yeah.
Hey, Walt.
So he has those other four children that's, you know, weighing on him. Zaheen is just a burden that he's just thrown off to the mother. The mother is over there frustrated. So both of them are in the wrong. And he does not talk back. And what are his parents' aspirations for their child? What's Zaheen's plan B? Besides basketball, when you kept asking him that, he didn't know what you were talking about. Okay, if basketball doesn't work, what are you going to do next? Here's some suggestions from your parents. So although they both think that, you know, they're both doing this tremendous job, neither one of them is doing nothing from what I heard. And like you said, that is a child, and a child is supposed to stay in a child's place. We guide our children. They're not guiding him. And he is playing both parents against each other.
And only
he's
10 years old.
Out there basketball, 10 years 10 old.
10 years old, he's already figured out how to do that.
Yes.
This is what happens when you treat your children like your friends and not your children. That's what happens when you do that. Now, I've got somebody on here. I'm not sure if they're calling from overseas. Are you calling from outside of the country, caller? Yeah, it sounds like somebody is calling from way out somewhere. Well, I'll let them call back in since they're asleep, apparently. Let me get call them 843. You're online with the Black Channel and Mona.
Hey, good evening, TV game. Miss Mona, this is Justin from South Carolina.
What's on your mind, brother?
Yeah, I was listening to the phone call earlier when you was talking to the kids, Zaheem, and it just got me thinking about, you know, when you was asking them questions and all he was saying was, all I know is all I play is basketball. And he started asking about school and, you know, he really didn't have any, you know, he was saying how he was doing bad in school. They asked him about video games and he was saying all he plays is basketball games. And it just got me thinking that how it seems that with Black parents, Black parents seem to limit their kids. Like, they just make them focus on one thing, and that's always sports. Like, why haven't Black parents have, you know, why don't they put them in, make them focus on something else? Like, I put in the chat room, you know, have the parents take them to a museum or a library, you know, someplace where he can, you know, discover something so he can change his focus. Or, you know, if he wants to play basketball, okay, that's good, but he needs to not focus on that. We have enough athletes as it is, but we don't have anybody that's controlling anything or bringing anything new to the table. Like, it should be more than one Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah, like, I mean, there's nobody there insisting on any type of discipline. Basketball is game. That's something that you do to fill your time. It doesn't matter if you're good at it or if you're not. Therefore, excelling at basketball is not some really great thing. The world existed long before basketball. It'll be here long after it goes away. That tells you what the importance of basketball is. Nobody is insisting on any type of discipline going on here. And that's the problem that most people should be having a problem with. We're not insisting on anything that involves an actual discipline. You got a kid, but insisting on games with him. We want to play games. Why? Because he wants to play them. He wants to play the game. So we are insisting on games because that's what he wants, because you're hoping that the child will say, I want to do this or I want to do that. And see, that's why I was telling him, if you're serious about having custody of your kids, you don't joke around like that. I wouldn't play with something like that. If that was my child, he is going to be the smartest kid in the room. When you all hear me talk about people say that their kids are smart and they're not, Zaheem's not very articulate.
No.
The way that you hear TBA talking today, that's the way I was talking at 10. And don't give me no, but that's you. That's the way I was talking at 10. There's a reason why they choose child actors. Because I hold myself to the highest standard, not the lowest. Not the lowest.
What was very disturbing to me is when he said that he did not like to write. There's a problem there, and that's probably one of the reasons why he's failing in school.
Yeah, so, it's not basketball.
Yeah. And I'm wondering, because his father wasn't on the phone with him, he chose to put him on the phone while they were playing basketball, which is a distraction, which tells me the father is not too grown. He probably doesn't even know the little boy does not like to write. He should have been on the phone with him in a quiet setting. So like I said, he just did this to save face because he got blew up all over Facebook and on your channel. So let me call in and get him off my back. The baby does not like to write.
It will make very little sense for us to get him away from mother, who is negligent, just so we can stick him with a father who will be negligent. People need to stop asking Zaheem what he wants to do and start raising the child. Endlessly asking your child, well, what would you like to do? I wasn't asking him that. I was telling him, choose something sensible to be doing. Well, I like basketball. Let's choose something other than basketball. Why do you keep asking me that?
Exactly. Can you ask me something else? Because I don't have the answer.
Well, because my folks told me that I don't have to do anything I don't want to do. So you're failing fifth grade. Yeah, I don't like classes anyway. So this is going to be your life. You are going to be the 14-year-old in fifth grade. Is that what's going to happen? All the other kids are 10 years old, and you're going to be 13 and 14 still in the 10th grade? True story, I was in school with a guy who was a 20-year-old senior. Actually, we had a couple of them. Not in the same class, but 20 years old and a senior in high school. So if you don't believe it can happen, I'm telling you, it can happen. This Negro is old enough to be drinking legally and sitting in the classroom with the rest of us, or at least at school with the rest of us. If you don't believe it can happen, it can happen.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but don't they say statistically that African-American boys start losing interest in class, in school around fourth and fifth grade?
We either got them or break them. And at this point right now, you have the parents and the schools both colluding against the child.
And I'm wondering also if he understood that when you said they don't care about your child, they don't even think black children should excel. So if he's failing, that's what they expect him to do. They're not going to call you. You have to be on it. I popped up at my son's school. I did it all the time. I wanted to see a report before the progress report. And I was so bad on him. He was like, can you just let me get a progress report before you do this? So we had an agreement. But when I seen otherwise, I was on it. This is a reflection of me. And he's a child. So while she's sitting over there halfway getting a rest aid, what is she doing with the child? How is she participating with her son? He's just left to his own devices. He's sneaking on the phone. He has a TV in his room. My son didn't have TV in his room. He had no distractions in his room till after that homework was done. Then you got to get your clothes ready for the next day.
But you can see who's raising the child now.
Yeah.
The television is raising the child. The computer is raising the child. The Xbox is raising the child. The parents are God knows where. And if the child is flunking out of school, what is the mother going to say? Well, I'm going to tell you that the past is the best indicator of the future. So when you are a failure, what do you say? Now, I explained to her what it means when you are on public assistance. That means that you have failed to take care of your finances. When you have to file bankruptcy as a business owner, that means you failed in business. And what was her response to those things? No, it doesn't. So her son flunking the fifth grade, we would tell her that she's failing as a parent and he's failing as a student. And she would simply respond to us, no, it doesn't. People flunk all, I want to say it like her, people flunk all the time for all kinds of reasons. There's a bunch of things that can cause them to flunk. You wrong about that.
You don't know their life story. That's what she would say.
Yeah. We have to learn your life story to find out that there's a problem. Well, it doesn't matter what we hear about your life story. We still end up right where we are right now with a 10-year-old who's flunking his way out of school at 10. If that's not verification that you suck and you have failed as a parent, I don't know what the hell is. Nobody's child is supposed to be flunking out of school at 10. A fifth grader flunking at 10. I mean, it's not like they're doing advanced algebra. He's in fifth grade. That means that this boy is failing at 6 times 4. That's what it means.
Who's checking his homework?
Nobody. Hell, nobody's checking the report cards. Nobody's checking the report cards, much less the homework. You got to June, and I just now found out that he was going to have to be repeating. Well, where have you been for the last 9 months?
Exactly.
9 months, and you got broadsided about your son's performance in school? Well, he said they start in August, so hell. Damn near 10 months. 10 months, but you were surprised to find out what his performance really was after 10 months. 10 months now.
Yeah, he calls all the time.
Nigga, who you fooling? You're not fooling me. That's why I told him you need to stop with the nonsense. I've gotten to the point that I don't even argue with him anymore. I was serious in what I said, everybody. I'm not joking. I'm not bull-jiving. I am serious in what I said. Mona, I'm about this close to opening up an Indiegogo. I'm about this close to opening up a Kickstarter for that kid. I am this damn close to doing it. This close.
So for the Kickstarter to be effective, what parent would you place those funds hands into? Or would he have to be taken away from them?
I'm thinking a child advocate would probably be better in this case.
Exactly.
I'm not even going to play around, people. I'm beyond that. I am so far beyond that. At this point right now, I'm looking at fosters and adoption.
So better yet, make it like a trust fund, like if he graduates college, then he can get to graduate high school.
Yeah, but here's the problem. The problem is at the point we're at right now, he may not make it that far. And that's what I was saying last week. At what we're looking at right now, I don't know if he's going to make it that far. I see a situation where he drops out of school in 10th grade. I see a scenario where a black child in Boston, Massachusetts, one of the hubs, one of the historic hubs of math and technology in the United States and the world, a black child in Massachusetts, I see him flunking out of school by the time he's in 10th grade. Because by that time, he probably will have flunked 7th, 9th, 8th, 10th grade by then. At the rate he's going now, he may not make it that far to get to college. We can't even keep him interested in writing at a 5th grade level. We can't even get him on board at a 5th grade level. And we're going to be talking about 10th grade level?
And remember, the mother said that money didn't matter, and as long as she has a roof over his head and food in his mouth and clothes on his back. So it's not about the money. It's about the disconnect and the unconcern about the welfare of their child.
She's treating that child like a Barbie doll. I want him. I want him. I want possession of him. And then she just leaves him laying on the floor. Now, if anybody else comes and gets the child, no, mine. But then when you give the child to her and say, okay, take care of him, she slams it down on the floor again and walks away. And what I'm saying is that somebody like that should not be allowed to reproduce and certainly should not be allowed to have custody of a child to raise them. She's not very interested in raising that child. And right now, I'm looking at a situation where I'm like, you know what, I'll get funds together so that we can just see about getting child advocate on this. Because the father is not trying hard enough, and the mother is not trying at all.
And the only reason is why she sounds like she wants to keep the child, remember, she's a public assistant.
Yeah.
So if she wasn't getting that half a check, who knows where she might be.
Yeah.
And she condones being a prostitute, so she might be out there stripping.
Yeah. I mean, if she's condoning women selling their bodies, then she is going to have no problem with her 10-year-old son flunking 5th, 6th, 7th, and every other grade.
Exactly.
And what I'm saying, everybody, is should somebody like that be allowed to raise a child? She is going to destroy that boy, and the father ain't going to do a damn thing to stop it. So what I'm saying is that we should be looking at alternatives. Where we
and
say,
remember, too,
we're going to do something different.
I'm sorry. And remember, too, she said, I'm going to school. I have a job. It was all about her. Your life is not your own when you bring children into this world. Whatever her aspirations were, she should have had that taken care of. It was all about what I'm doing.
She's trying to regale us about going to school. Meanwhile, your son's flunking out of elementary school. You're talking about going to college. Your son is flunking out of school.
How are you on honors? You're on honors. Are you doing good in school and your son is flunking? Something's wrong with that picture.
And you got majority custody of him.
Exactly.
You have majority custody of the child, but your son is flunking out of school. Sounds like we found a problem.
And she said he was good. He's good. Earlier in the conversation, and then later on, well, he's not doing good in school. Which one was it? He's a bunch of liars.
I think we got it. I mean, they you're not dealing with adult-type intellects. You're dealing with childish, infantile intellects. When you have a baby and you're treating the baby like a Tonka truck, it's mine. You can't play with my toy. This is not a damn toy. This is a person. And they got no more regard for this person than they do for a bottle of cognac. Get your hands off my bottle. Hand them the bottle. All they do is take a swig and then put it back in the refrigerator. And that's it. That's all. They are not trying to do anything sensible with these children. And what I'm saying is that at some point, somebody should step in and say, you know what? You don't need to have children. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day hood rats and sluts will not be allowed to have children because they destroy the lives of little babies. I have a dream. I have a dream that deadbeat niggas and hood rat sluts will face 10 years in prison, or they can plea bargain to have their tubes tied and have a vasectomy. I have a dream today that should be one of the options for abusing your children. Abusing your children should be a criminal. They should have mandatory minimum sentencing. It should be a criminal offense that allows you to only plea bargain out to stop your reproductive organs. And I'm talking about on the first offense. I have a dream today. You all can get out there on the damn White House steps and you talk about men's rights and all that other useless mess all you want to. You can talk about gesticulation. I'm talking about legislation. You vent your frustration, I'm going to vent my legislation. And let me tell you, there is historical precedent for it. Right here in the state of Louisiana, I believe it was. If it wasn't Louisiana, it was one of the southern states. I want to say it was Louisiana. There was a judge, and there was a child molester. Now, for those of you who don't know, Louisiana is one of the states where rape of a child, especially one under the age of 10, you're eligible for the death penalty in this state.
In
Louisiana, if you rape a little child, you're eligible for the death penalty. So understand, when you get accused of something like that, your life is on the line in this state. Your life's on the line. And now let me tell you all, courts move unbelievably quickly when they want to convict you. In the state of Louisiana, courts move outrageously fast when they want to convict you. They move at blazing speed. Well, there was one individual in particular. He was a multiple serial child molester. And he was basically looking at a sentence in triple digits. And in Louisiana, when you go down for child molestation, you will stay there. I wouldn't even bother showing up for the parole hearings. I wouldn't even bother showing up. You have a better chance of flapping your arms and flying to the moon. I wouldn't even bother. In any case, this gentleman, I use that term sarcastically, had molested a bunch of little children, and he was up for a very, very stiff penalty, but he offered himself up for castration. He said, "Your Honor, I have a problem. I can't control myself, but I am willing to submit myself to castration to whittle down this damn sentence." And the judge brought a mason jar to court. He brought a mason jar to court, gave it to his defense attorney, and said, "You bring his testicles back to me in this, and we'll reduce his sentence." I do not know if the judge still has the man's members in that jar over his mantle today. I know he did have them at the time. I don't know if somebody's testicles would count as evidence in a case. I suppose they don't. I suppose they actually count as the disposition of the case. Maybe. I don't know where you'd file the paperwork on that. I don't think you can keep it in the evidence lock either. But in any case, I do know that the gentleman does not have his testicles today. And I know that they were last seen with the judge and a mason jar. I do know that. Because he brought them. The judge gave the defense attorney a jar, and the defense attorney brought the jar back. Now, if we allow child molesters to do that, why can't we allow negligent parents to do the same? Do you know why we have the stiff laws against pedophiles and child molesters that we do today in the United States? Do you know why? There's really only one person responsible for that, just one. Not a bunch, just one. Bill O'Reilly. It was about 12 years ago to try to calm down the furor over Andrea Macris, the producer that he was harassing. Kind of ironic that the sexual harasser wanted to go against sexual predators, but I digress. Bill O'Reilly goes on this jihad against state legislatures, talking about how lax the laws were in certain states against child molesters. And what happened was all the states started racing to see who could be the most punitive against child molesters. And that's why you've got all these sexual predator lists and all the rest of those things around the country now. Was child molestation worse after Bill O'Reilly than it was before? No. Do these laws actually prevent anything from happening? That is highly debatable, that they actually have even done anything. And I'm not saying let child molesters loose. Of course not. Nobody's stupid enough to say that. That would be ridiculous. But what I am saying is, why is it that you say that a pedophile molesting children is not as serious as a bastard baby-making single mother who says it doesn't matter if I'm hoeing myself, it doesn't matter if the children are flunking out of school, it doesn't matter if the kids are having sex with their brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter. Why is it that those individuals are not more of a threat to society than the drug dealers that you're giving mandatory sentences to? How do you figure that some dude dealing a kilo of cocaine is more dangerous than a single mother with six kids by six guys? How do you figure that? Because those are the incubators that create your drug dealers. Now, if all of us got serious about that kind of thing, we could stop that. If all of us got serious about it. And what I'm saying is that at some point we need to start tackling that. It's a damn shame that there's only one me. I can't do everything, people. Somebody else, you're more than welcome to jump on that. All you need is one legislator to pass that. And yes, it will pass constitutional muster. There's no constitutional thing that will allow it. If they plea bargain it on their own, that's why you make it a plea bargain, because it's their choice. They can decide for themselves if they want to do it. Nobody's going to make you do it. Nobody. You decide that on your own. 15 years or we get your tubes tied. TBA, why do you want 10 to 15 years? Because if that super slut is 23 years old, it'll be either 10 years, she'll be in her 30s by then. You've been out of circulation that long, and ain't nobody really trying to sleep with you like that. And if we can get them over that 40-year age difference, that's a done deal. 80% of the males ain't even trying to sleep with her none. You take them out of circulation, and you break the cycle. And it does work. It works astoundingly well. If we ever get serious about wanting to save these children, it will. I don't give a damn about the rights of adults when children are being harmed. I could give a damn about your rights. You don't, once those children get harmed, you don't have any rights anymore. You don't have any. And that's real talk. So if we ever got serious about that, you could stop that kind of thing. If Bill O'Reilly can put this mess into place for child molesters, why come we can't put this in place for child abusers? All these damn repeat phone calls to the Department of Child Services, damn that. You got four kids by four different dudes, that should be probable cause right there. That should be probable cause by itself.
I don't believe that we do it because they always use that excuse. Are you doing more damage when you take them away? That's what I hear when I bring up something like that.
And you know what you do in that case right there? We need documentaries about that. We need documentaries that show and illustrate what happens when we leave those children in the home. And we should show a trail of bodies, because that's what Bill O'Reilly and Fox News did. The answer to that, Mona, is that we should have media in place showing that. And you keep saying it and keep showing the images and keep forcing these people to defend the dead bodies of children. That's what you do.
Absolutely.
The answer to liars is the truth. The answer, you deal with white, the answer to white, the cure for white supremacy is black empowerment. The solution to white supremacy is black empowerment. And the solution to a constant liar is relentless truth. That's the way we deal with that. And understand something, you take care of all other things. Your welfare rolls evaporate, your Section 8 housing goes away, your numbers start to fall off across the board. Guess what? We don't need all this public assistance anymore. Because you know, like I know, Mona, it's repeat offenders. They go from one housing project to another, one Section 8 housing to another, food stamps in one state to food stamps in another state. That's why hoes on the internet who are single mothers don't have any problem traveling from one state to another to meet dudes. Because they have to.
Exactly. Because they could take those benefits with them. You're absolutely correct. Because they don't get a penalty or anything when they lose their housing. They get to go somewhere else and start all over. You're absolutely correct on that.
So, yeah, I'm talking about destroying the whole damn game. There's two ways that we can deal with this single mother issue. We can try to bolster fathers' rights, but the problem with trying to bolster fathers' rights is a lot of these guys are like Derek. So the other solution would be for us to deal with this. The other solution is for us to deal with the problem where it sits.
Yes, sir, I agree with you completely. I mean, something needs to be done because you're just adding more baggage to, you know, black people as a whole, trying to keep these people up when they're not interested at all, in trying to, they're holding this dead weight and we need to cut them off anywhere that we can. So I agree with you completely.
We absolutely have to deal with the single mothers first, because if they got themselves in a position to become pregnant without a husband and the man left, he for certain don't want to take the child. If he walks away from his seed after the baby was born, he doesn't want it. So we have to deal with the women first.
If we were
serious about those kind of things, we'd have that taken care of. Because in white society, they get serious about locking us up. And they get serious about locking their problems up, too. They get real serious about that. Where we as black people are concerned, we don't do that.
Yeah, because as soon as a single mother, you know, falls short and she needs some assistance, she has somewhere to go to that is not necessarily given to the father. So they have to be dealt with. If they knew that they couldn't get any assistance, maybe they wouldn't be laying up.
Yeah, I mean, these dudes don't have any problem. You knock out 4 and 5 babies when you're sitting up saying, well, I don't have to take care of them. There are too many children. That's another game these dudes like to play. They hop from one female to another, and these guys are such low-life dogs that they try to lock a female down with a baby.
I think the mindset is more the woman trying to lock a man down. When she sees that the relationship is not going, you know, the way she wants to do it, then she comes up pregnant. And that might have happened back in my father's day, you know, in our elders' day, because, you know, they had shotgun weddings, and you are going to be married. We will not bring any bastard babies into this family. But nowadays, you know, that's not working for women at all. Because if it was, we wouldn't have this disaster like we have on single mothers.
But that's only going to count if you're actually concerned about what happens to the children. And as black people, we can get what we want if we get serious about that. Now, of course, the white corporate media is going to do everything that they can to stop that. But that's why black folks to get off of their asses. We need black folk who are serious about that. It can't just be, you know, me over here and Tariq over there and Umar Johnson way over there. It can't be that. We need a bunch of black folk. Everybody wants to talk about Blog Talk has 100 black folk talking about relationships. Damn that. That's childish. You might as well be talking about basketball. Why don't you talk about some adult things, you know, like what happens after the relationship? We got all these bastard babies out here because nobody wants to call it for what it is. I'm one of the few who's willing to do that. And you've got children like Zaheem who are getting ground up into stroganoff. Because nobody's got the time or the interest to do what's in his best interest. And I'm telling you, that's how serious I am about this. It would be great tomorrow. It'd be great tomorrow. You better understand, if they were talking about black men, they wouldn't have a problem doing it. Melissa Harris Perry would log on to her TV show every evening talking about how we need to castrate these males. I've never heard her say anything negative about that. She never says anything negative about what happens to men, period. Hell, you damn near had to drag the woman down the middle of the street about Trayvon Martin. We need to have a zero tolerance policy, but the problem is, and white supremacy knew this when they instituted these social programs and targeted black females, that if you give people a safe harbor for their problems, we don't have to get all of black society messed up. We just got to get 10%. That's all. And that 10% will eventually grow to 50%. All we got to do is get our hooks in, and it will contaminate the pool for everybody. For everybody. And if we get enough of these pimp pastor preachers on board, all you got to do is buy him a Cadillac. You got him bought off. Buy him a Cadillac and you're done. You're done. And he'll get in the congregation. He's not going to say anything the bastard baby makers don't want to hear. You see, when I was a child, somebody like Zaheem's mother couldn't have gone to church. Not happily, anyway.
Exactly.
The pastor would have sat there. We had one pastor here in Shreveport. God love him. When it was time for the collection, he used to say it. Time for the collections now. All right, ladies back there, we need y'all to whip out them welfare checks. This was like 30 years ago, though. I didn't realize what I was hearing at the time. Now I do. Now I love him. He used to say it right there in the pulpit. It's time to whip out them welfare checks. And the hoes knew who they were. And guess what? You didn't want to be sitting on that side of the church very long either, now did you? See, that's what happened when the churches were serving our interests. Today, everybody wants to be Creflo Dollar, and they don't see the people in their church as members who need to be led to righteousness. They see them as a customer base that you need to cater to draw revenue. Instead of insisting that the people coming to the church cater to the Bible, the pastor caters to them so he can get money out of them. Then they hear somebody like me, and it's like to them, it's the first time they ever heard that. I thought you were going to church. My pastor don't preach like that. Then your church is worthless. Your church is worthless. I mean to do these things because we've had 4 or 5 generations of black males now who have made it their job and their mission in life to make everybody happy with us and to make everyone pleased with us. Meanwhile, white men don't give a damn what you like and what you don't. They're only concerned with retaining power, wealth, and influence. Black men are sitting up here trying to figure out how to get folk to like us and can't figure out why we have no power, wealth, or influence. Damn the nonsense. Damn the nonsense. I went through that long, drawn-out explanation here for everybody to let you know that we are sacrificing our future generation of young black people. We are sacrificing them through our poverty. We are sacrificing them through our debauchery, through our hedonism, through our nasty behavior, through our ignorance, through the creation of slums, being satisfied with being poor and destitute. We are destroying our legacies. and our futures by engaging in that behavior. That's what we're doing. We are destroying it straight down the line by being satisfied with having deficient children.
Exactly. Getting there around the head with that.
Brother, I'll let you have the last word.
Yeah, you done said it all, TBA. Black first. Have a good evening.
Black first, brother. Thank you very much for joining us here tonight. Hello, Gwen. Turn your speakers off.
Hello. Hey, how are you?
Make sure you turned your speakers off and not just down.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, I think you wanted to explain to us what you found so objectionable, Gwen.
I was thinking about some of the things that you just kind of just said and some of the things I've heard kind of other people say over time, and especially here at the Black Channel. And some of it seems to be geared towards or looking like eugenics. And so I was just, you know, saying with a lot of stuff that has happened and is still happening in the world and with a lot of problems, especially Black people have had, being one of the main subjects of eugenics, I just think it's a slippery slope to start for people to kind of champion it, I guess.
What is eugenics?
Well, you know, I didn't look it up because I knew we were going to talk about it, so I'm going to say eugenics is, it can be a lot of different things, but it's a practice when you're trying to control a population or people or a person genetically, and it can be through birth, or you can breed people out. It can be through sterilization, which still goes on today. But, you know, it's practice in controlling. It's used a lot to control birth rates.
You're going
to
call
to wipe
us
out of people.
Don't call us from under your stove. You can't make phone calls from under your couch, Gwen. You need to make it from a place where you can actually have some good reception.
Okay, well, this place has, I'm not going to stay here anymore because this place always has bad reception. Let me go ahead. I'm moving now. But, yes, did you hear what I said on my definition?
You know, it is like whenever somebody tries to argue with me over anything, the first thing I do is I ask them, what does that word mean? Like the Nimrod who called in a couple of weeks ago with Jasmine, who said that he did not believe in the existence of white supremacy. I then asked him what white supremacy, and he said, I don't know, but I don't believe in it. Now you are trying to tell us that this sounds too much like eugenics. I asked you, what's eugenics, and you say, I don't know. It really kind of made me amazed, and I wonder exactly what it is that these people are actually arguing against. They're arguing against things even though they are not exactly certain what it is they're arguing against. They're using terms and they're using words without any real idea what the term or what the word means. So they go off and they try to find the most sensationalist word that they can use. They throw the word around, try to use it as a label, not really sure what the word means. They don't actually know what the terms they are using mean, but they have no problem using them. Now, when I was a kid, you were simply too embarrassed to invoke terms that you don't actually know the definition of. Gwen, do you require a couple of minutes to see if you can find the definition of eugenics?
Because you use
the term and you use the word and you called up and you defended the term and you defended using the word, and yet you're admitting to everyone now that, but by the way, I am using a word I do not actually even know what it means. But
I know what it means.
It.
It's a scientific practice of racism.
It's a scientific practice of racism.
Yes, racism began. Racism was a lot of times practiced through eugenics. I mean, it's...
eugenics is you're saying that eugenics is the method of executing racism, Gwen. That's what you just said.
It's one of them. It's a practice used in racism, just like they did to the Native American, to us, to Aborigine, and breeding us out, and mass murder. You know, genocide is a form of eugenics. I mean, yeah, it has a wide definition.
Okay, now you just said mass murder, genocide. Who was referring to mass murder and genocide during my broadcast tonight?
Not you.
Okay, nobody and not me, but now invoke eugenics. Now, Gwen, we were referring to child molesters plea bargaining their way out of a sentence by castration. Will you please explain to everybody, how do we make the connection from child molesters to eugenics? How do you make that leap?
Well, because I am looking at, well, first it's based off other things as well, not solely that, but that made me think about it. But there's, when you stop someone's, I guess when you stop somebody's ability to reproduce, or when you do that, or if you make it, maybe it's different if it was a plea bargain, but if it was in a situation where it was forcibly done, then maybe that would be different. But I would, you know, I would consider that as, maybe with the exception of the plea bargain, maybe that, I'm not sure if that, if it's something was optioned, someone opted to do that, but, you know, I
consider that. What you were saying is that by us saying that plea bargaining to castrate a child molester who's making offenses by molesting children and assaulting children, we are doing this to protect children from being assaulted. That's the same as you saying that anybody who shoots another person with a gun is a murderer. By you invoking eugenics in this conversation, that's the same as saying you're conflating any type of action taken against another person as eugenics. Then by that definition, any type of action taken against a person who is assaulting you is murder. That you are unable to make the distinction between someone who is offending and someone who is being dealt with because they are the offender.
I see what you're saying,
now,
but to me, that's...
I'm able to make the distinction. Are you able to make that distinction, or are you unable to make it?
Well, that's why I said it's a slippery slope, because if you start with something like you were suggesting or what you said the judge did, then, you know, if we champion that, then what's next? As you said, it was for young children. Someone did it to a young child.
Already, you were already asked, how did you make that leap? Mm-hmm. And all you said was, well, there's mass murderers and genocide. Well, just because there's mass murder and genocide does not make that eugenics. And B, does not make what we are talking about eugenics. So I'll ask you again to answer your own question, Gwen. Can you explain to us how we made it from child molesters to eugenics? Explain that slippery slope. What is the next step that takes us to mass murder and genocide?
So that's not what I said. Those are ways that eugenics is practiced.
You just said the next
step. There's no connection.
Gwen, you're doing it again. You just said the next step. You said, well, if you do this, then what's the next step? I'm asking you, Gwen, what is the next step that takes us from stopping child molesters to mass murder, quote, mass murder and genocide. What
Why
is the
are you
next
connecting
step?
Those? They're not connected. No one connected
but
those
you
except
did
you.
It.
I
but
didn't,
you
no,
did
I did
it.
Not. That's a way
yes,
you practice
did.
Eugenics. It's
okay,
not connected
what is
to
the way
child
you
molestation.
Practice eugenics?
That's one way you practice it. And another one can be simply castrating somebody.
I was talking about child molesters and stopping them, and you said that's a slippery slope to eugenics. You said that. Now you mm-hmm. don't want to claim your own
No,
murder.
Not in a form of mass murder. It's not connected to mass murder. It can still be eugenics.
Okay.
That's
and
one
explain
form.
To me, explain to me how we make it from stopping a child molester to eugenics.
Okay, because if you take that route that you were talking about, castrating somebody, and if that's the route
castrating
that...
Castrating someone for... Whoa. Castrating mm-hmm. someone as a penalty for committing a crime. Say the whole
okay.
sentence, Gwen. Castrating
okay,
someone
well,
you, as a penalty for committing a crime.
Yes, and you're,
we're
so
not,
you're castrating...
Whoa. We're not just going down the street grabbing people and castrating them. I don't like his color of tie. I'm going to castrate him. I don't like his choice of shoe. I'm going to castrate him. I don't like his haircut. I'm going to castrate him. That is not what we're talking about. So we're talking about castrating people who have committed a specific offense. How do we make it from that to eugenics?
Well, if you're castrating someone who's committed child rape or some other type of offense like that, then what I meant by slippery slope for black people is that we're not going to get these laws in place and they're going to start castrating people for molestation. They're going to castrate black men. So it's a slippery slope for black people to be talking about eugenics when we've already done that. They're going to use that against us.
How many
it's
black men in the United States have been castrated by courts?
By the courts?
Because it's all, because it's already allowed. So we're not talking about what... Gwen, stop talking. We're not talking about what might happen at some point in the far distant future of our imaginations. It's already been available now for 20 years. Can you please explain to me, of all the men... molesters in the United States who have been castrated, how many of those were black males?
As far as black men being castrated, I'm not sure how many were child molesters.
Okay, how many of them have been castrated by a court system in the United States in the last 20 years? How many? Can you name one?
No.
Then what are you defending? Because we're already admitting and conceding that the situation already exists now. You claim that it will be used disproportionately against black males. I asked you to name someone who is a black male who's a victim of this, because I can name some white men, and Google will show you plenty. I just asked you that, and you can't even name one, even though it's already underway. And you're warning us against this avalanche of use against black people, and you can't show it to us. So what is it that you are actually arguing against, Gwen? Are you arguing against your own ignorance and fear, or are you arguing against something that you know?
And I'm arguing against eugenics and cutting off people's genitalia.
Okay,
so,
and show me where it's happening. Because all you're doing is coming up with hypotheses and make-believe. Show us where
it's not hypotheses and make believe.
Then show
you
I can show
and
the
you,
white men. I can show you the white men who are being castrated. Can you show me the black men who are being castrated? That's
what white
question.
Men? Where's the list of white men that have been castrated by the court?
Okay, are you denying that? Are you saying that I made
no,
this
I'm asking you,
broadcast?
No, I'm asking you for you saying
asking
you could show
you.
Me, so where
no,
are they?
Whoa, if you're going to dispute
this. I
don't
have any. I don't know of anybody, black
okay,
or white.
If you're going, so if you're going, are you claiming now that nobody has been castrated in the courts
no,
in the
no.
years?
No, I'm not. I'm asking you who are the people who have been castrated. I don't know of any.
Yes, but what I'm saying is, are you sitting up here saying that that's not it? Are you saying that that did not happen, Gwen?
No,
because
I'm not saying it didn't happen.
Like, Okay, if you're asking for a list of them, it sounds like that you are asking for us to sit up here and that you're asking for us to do something about that, that it doesn't exist.
No, you said there was a list of white men, so I want to know how these, when did, what year was this, when did this happen, why? How was this able to happen, and why did it happen? So that's the list I'm asking for. I've never heard of it.
And this, brothers and sisters, is why we are in the situation that we are in today. This is why. Gwen is arguing against something. She doesn't have the facts. She doesn't have the information. She doesn't have any of
that. What am I wrong about? What is it that I'm wrong about?
You are arguing against taking action against individuals who commit crimes.
No, I'm not. I'm arguing against eugenics.
That
so
this
that's
will
what I
lead
said.
To, you argued against people being punished for committing a crime, saying that
no,
will
I didn't.
Lead something. When I'm talking, you argued against punishing people who commit a crime, and claimed that it would lead to something totally unrelated. So we should not do anything at all because Gwen.
Yes, exactly. Let the child molesters go free. That's exactly what I called to say.
Because Gwen is afraid that something else could happen. She claims something else will be, this will lead as a slippery slope to something else, even though there isn't one shred of evidence that that's currently happening.
There's hundreds of years of evidence of that. What do you mean?
Hundreds of
any
years
law
of
that they, any of law
what?
They're going to turn against you. That's what they did with drug laws. That's what they've done. They turn laws against you. So
okay.
I don't understand.
So by that definition, we shouldn't have any laws against any behavior whatsoever because those can be turned against you.
I'm saying watch the laws that you champion. Because they will, a lot of them will be turned against you. If they start
no,
castrating
law,
child molesters, they're going to pick up black
against.
Men off the street and start castrating
okay,
them.
Okay, any law can be turned against you. Gwen, name one law that cannot be turned against you. Name one. Just one.
There's none. I don't think so.
Okay,
that's my point.
But
so
yours, okay, but you're saying we
that?
Should. Okay, then why are you stopping at castration then?
Because castration is a, like I said, it's a form of eugenics, and it is a slippery
okay,
slope to other things. Why
what's
not sterilize women? Why not do
okay.
that to everybody?
Okay, but what is the death penalty then? Is that not a form of eugenics?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, then we should not have the death penalty either. And life sentences. We shouldn't have life sentences either. Isn't that a form of eugenics?
I'm not sure if life sentencing
isn't
is.
That making a concentration camp?
Yes, I think that can be argued, yeah.
Okay, then we should not have life sentences then either. As a matter of fact, we should not have jails, because jails are a form of concentration camp.
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking you, Gwen. Because, you see, this is called a slippery slope, Gwen. With that garbage you're talking about, that's not a slippery slope. I am taking you from one step in logical, chronological order of how we get from one place to another. You're talking about your fear and ignorance. I'm giving you facts. So we can go from death penalty to life sentence to penal systems, period. And all of them qualify as concentration camp systems. So by your standards, we should actually not have any of them.
No, not all of them. Not
whoa,
all of them.
Whoa,
but
now you want to pick and choose and differentiate. You do not want to simply
say. Are
you saying
should we have prisons? Yeah, yeah, you have to have a place to put people, but you can also argue birth control and all of that stuff, and you can argue a lot of things. Is eugenics, you know? So, I mean, you can argue a lot of things are. But I'm talking about sterilizing people.
No, okay, you're talking about eugenics.
Mm-hmm. And specifically sterilizing people is what you were talking about.
Yes, but what I'm saying is that by your standards, we can label anything eugenics. Why did you choose castration and just stop there? Why didn't you include all these other things and say that also? You want to stop at castration and label it eugenics. But by your standard, that standard is so broad and so vague and so irrelevant that and so unrelated that we can put anything under that umbrella. You're just using a label and hoping that that intimidates people, but you're not actually explaining how the label applies to the subject that we're talking about. And you've been asked several times to connect the dots, and you've most recently conceded, well, there are no dots.
I have already connected the dots. And
okay.
So you don't have a problem with using the word eugenics. You're just saying acceptable.
Explain to me how castration leads to the organized practice of eugenics.
Okay, it leads to it because you have people in the courtroom, judges passing down sentences of castration for crimes. Those crimes are going to start to be left in the judge's decision. It's going to disproportionately, just like everything else, is going to disproportionately affect us. And then we're going to have a problem with our young men being castrated for selling dope or for looking at a white girl or for doing whatever they're doing. They're going to hit us hardest. So it was
nobody
something that I would like to leave
to
out.
Okay, but what you're referring to there has nothing to do. Well, if looking at a white girl, we're going to castrate them. Nobody's walking.
That's what it's
going to
turn into. That's a slippery slope.
Okay, what you're saying is that there is going to be a prosecutor who is going to walk into a courtroom and say, this man looked at a white woman, we must castrate him.
Yes. That's exactly what I'm saying. You know they come up with all kind of evidence, like Emmett Till, like anyone else, like down here in Annapolis, like I say all the time, they come up with that stuff. So they're going to bring, it's going to be something that's not, it's going to be a lie, and black men are going to suffer the consequence for it.
Okay,
you
by
know,
that.
The worst of all.
Okay, but you can't tell us how that's going to happen. Gwen, I'm a cynical person. I cannot imagine any prosecutor on earth in 2014 or 2024 being insane enough to walk into a courtroom and say, this man looked at a white woman.
Yes, if they have witnesses, if they have people.
Are you even listening to yourself? There's going to be a
I believe I've seen this happen before.
There's going to be a prosecuting attorney who is going to say the crime is looking at white women.
That may be one, and he might be accused of raping a white woman.
Okay,
be accused of raping her.
He is not going to be accused of raping a white woman. He is going to be accused of rape.
Okay, yeah, rape.
Because by your standard, well, he would be subject to castration if he raped white women, but not if black women.
I do feel that way.
You're not even listening to yourself.
I'm listening fine to myself. I think that I do feel that way. It would be mostly about white people. It would be about that, and we would be second. I don't think they would castrate a black man quick for raping a black woman as they would a white woman. We all know that.
Okay, well, right now, most of your sex offenders are white males to begin with. Or did you not know that?
Yeah.
Did you not know that most of your sex offenders today, right now, under the laws that Bill O'Reilly helped get into motion, most of the people being sentenced under those are white males. Did you know that?
Yes, of course.
Okay, now that's not called my guess or make-believe. That's called something you might want to look into, Gwen. It's called a numerical fact. A fact. A fact, Gwen. Not my belief, not my gut, not my feeling, not what I'm thinking about from 500 years ago. It's the situation right now. So the scenario that you are proposing right now, even though it may catch more black males than it should, it is still catching more white men than anything else.
But they're not castrating these white, or are they going to castrate them?
And I'm saying that right now, under the penal system that we have right now, it penalizes white males in disproportionate numbers to black males right now. And you're saying that instituting a new type of punishment will somehow flip-flop. First of all, you have to be accused and convicted. And you bypass accused and convicted altogether and went straight to, see, things are going to change overnight. And they're basically, what you said was they're going to gather all the black males and accuse them of a crime, and a victim will magically appear out of nowhere, and off we go.
Well, you just said that they will, you just said yourself that it would victimize black men at a higher rate than it should.
I didn't say that. What are you talking about?
You just said that it may victimize black men at a higher rate than it, at a disproportional rate than it should.
It may penalize black men at a higher rate than it should. In other words, being 13% of the population, technically speaking, we should only be 13% of prisoners. But then again, that's a disparity that exists across the board. There is nothing novel to sex offenses that is being against black men. There's nothing novel about the way that we're being prosecuted under sex offenders than anything else. It's the same. And as a black male, I am certainly sympathetic to that, because the court system takes it easy on black females. You all wouldn't talk so stupid if the court systems went after y'all like they do after us. You wouldn't talk like that. I go off of numbers.
I don't think it's fair or the same for black men.
I go for numbers and facts, and the penal system is a lot kinder to you all than it is to us. That's why you have all these black bastard baby-making females out here abusing their children, and what happens to them, Gwen?
I don't know. I'm not talking about women or bastard baby-makers. I'm talking about
the black women abuse their children. The court system lets them go and actively looks for ways to return the children to them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that. The court system does not look for a way to rehabilitate black men. It does not have training programs and parenting classes and anger management for black men. You deal drugs, it's off to jail. You do it 3 times, life sentence. Black women can wind up in child services 5, 8, and 10 times for each one of their bastard children. And the courts never give them a day of jail time. Now, if I walked up and smacked the hell out of you right now, Gwen, what would happen? I'd be arrested. I'd be arrested for what, Gwen? Assault. Even if I wasn't there when the police saw you, if you accuse me and said that this guy slapped me and look at the side of my face, I'm bruised up, I'm red. Black women can beat and abuse their children. They can have bruises from head to toe. They put the children in foster care, but ain't nobody trying to charge her with assault and battery now, are they? No, they're not. Because if that were true, then all these tremendous numbers of children that we see in the child support, in the child protective services, would have an equal number of, for every child in there, there'd be a black female behind bars for every child. And there's not. They take the children and we, quote, investigate, but we leave her on the streets. And even if the doctors and everybody else do find that this child has been abused, the prosecuting attorney never shows up to prosecute. They just want to determine if we take the child out of your custody, but nobody is trying to prosecute you for that. Now, you let your husband smack you and find out the police show up and the prosecutor shows up. Nobody's trying to find out how to get Gwen into a shelter. They just want to know how to put us behind bars. Their first concern is putting us behind bars. As females, that is not their first concern for you. And I just proved it. So when they start coming after you all like that, come back and talk to me. You are not the prime target. But if you were, y'all would see this whole thing differently.
I would see what differently. I don't understand how that has anything to do with what I called
about.
You
would not be talking
about
theories and about suppositions about the court system. You would be only concerned about the facts. You would know what crimes.
I didn't say anything that was
not
factual.
Yes, you did. You said plenty of things are not factual.
What did I say?
You have not said a single fact yet. You haven't even
yes,
said
I
wrong.
Have. I told you what eugenics was. I know what it is. What is
no,
it? What did I
no,
say
you
wrong? You will not tell me.
You did not even tell us what eugenics is. Define eugenics.
I told you what eugenics is.
Tell us again.
I said it.
Give us the definition of eugenics again.
Hold on. Let me look it up again.
Wow, let me look it up again. Can't you tell me right now?
You didn't accept my definition. You didn't accept my definition, so I'm going to look it up.
What is your definition again?
As I said, eugenics is used to practice genetic annihilation. Eugenics is controlling somebody's a population's growth through birth. It can be in the form of genocide. It can take a lot of different forms, but it's controlling a population. It could be through gene manipulation. It can be through breeding out. It can be through even segregation. It can be through a lot of different avenues.
It can be through segregation.
Yes.
It can be through segregation. As I said, she's not relying on facts. She's just pulling words out of her ear and throwing them out there and hoping that something will stick. You are that's
there's
called
been plenty of segregated populations like they did in India. No, you can continue to say what you're
Gwen,
not saying what it is or what it really is. You're just saying that I'm wrong.
No, Gwen, because when somebody can jump up and show me that I'm wrong about something, when you say something, you should know what you're talking about. And
I've told you several times what I'm talking about, and it everybody knows that that's what eugenics is. That's what it is. So you haven't said what it is or anything different.
You cast the net. Gwen, you cast the net. You pulled up so many words out of your brain that you've cast
so
the net.
So that it doesn't make any sense to you.
Gwen, stop talking when I'm talking.
All right, sorry.
You see, when a person knows something, they go straight to it. You go to a mechanic and your car is acting up. If he knows how to fix it, he immediately tells you what the problem is. He doesn't sit up here and say it could be the transmission or it could be the air conditioner or it could be the radiator or it could be the O2 sensor. He just tells you what the problem is. That's what he does. He doesn't guess his way through it. And he doesn't just keep throwing things at the wall to see if something sticks.
Okay, well, I guess I'm wrong then. So that's
no, Gwen, what I'm saying
is that what it is. I mean,
what I'm saying is that you need to know what you're talking about before you use a term. And if you cannot define the term, you shouldn't be using it because that's called politics and propaganda. When I throw a word out there and just label it, even though it doesn't apply or it doesn't actually mean the way I'm using it, I'm throwing it out there anyway because this will be something that I can use to get people on my side and agree with me. But the way you're using it is totally out of context. Doesn't matter. I want people to agree with me. And then when you were asked to give us details about how we make it from castration of criminals to eugenics, you could not actually get us there except to say, well, the court system can be used against you. But by that loose, once again, vagaries, throwing things at the wall and hoping something sticks, by that vague and innocuous standard, every law, including rape of females, and as a female, you should be particularly concerned about that, I would think, any law, including rape of females, would then have to come under scrutiny because that can be misused as well. So if somebody rapes Gwen, we should be very, very, very reluctant to punish because how do we know we're not misusing this? by that standard. Now, either you are for it or you're against it. If you're going to say that castration counts as eugenics, then we must also include everything else that counts as eugenics, and I'm going to assume that you're against all of those, too, since eugenics can apply in such a broad way, and we certainly wouldn't want to say that some eugenics is better than others, would we? But I imagine you're about to get there, that some eugenics are better than others.
I said it's a slippery slope. So it never came out of my mouth that it should not be practiced in any way or to better society or anything like that. I said it's a slippery slope.
She actually just stumbled onto the definition of eugenics. This is the problem. This is why I tell you all to avoid hustlers, con men, fraudsters, and shysters. Because what they try to do is they try to talk long enough that they eventually will figure out something. Now, you inadvertently actually just stumbled onto the definition of eugenics. Eugenics is the belief in selective breeding for the betterment of society.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try that
okay,
one
so
more
what,
time.
Okay, so you're
eugenics,
talking about practicing eugenics.
Stop. Eugenics is the belief. Let's start right there. Is this thing on? Eugenics is the belief. I have a belief that society will be improved if I can control or have, if we all initiate selective breeding. So by the mechanism of selective breeding, we can improve the race. Now, Gwen, mm-hmm. will you please tell me what in the holy hell that I just said has anything to do with castrating sexual, how we get from castrating sexual offenders to selective breeding for the betterment of the race?
Obviously, you would be castrating him so he could not breed or have the urge to breed because you would not want him to, and that would be his punishment to have his testicles cut off. So I think that's a picture-perfect example of what eugenics
is. Okay,
but
we don't castrate sex offenders because we're afraid they'll have children. We are disarming their weapon. Because if
yes,
he can't
or, yeah.
get... If
that's
he cannot get an erect penis, he is not going to be able to rape any children. Not like that, he won't.
Yes. And I guess in that example, you can also castrate somebody because you don't want them to continue their line or because of for many different reasons that people were castrated.
Okay, but
you know.
But if we make it as part of a plea bargain, how are we going to... How do we get where you're going, Gwen? You've never explained that.
Well, that's the first thing I said. If it's a part of a plea bargain, if someone opts to have it, then that
but
may
Gwen,
be something
from the very, that was explained from the very beginning, and you still made your statement anyway that it was a slippery slope. It was explained to you before, and now you're backtracking and say, well, but if it was, but that was explained in the first place. This is
I'm
not
backtracking. It's a slippery slope.
Okay,
it's
a slippery slope. Even if it's voluntary, it's a slippery slope.
Yeah, I would still say so. But
okay.
It's not,
so,
I'm not focused on
that. Did you just hear that?
Longer.
Now, she just tried to act as if something I said changed it, and then she admits finally that, by the way, yeah, even though you explained the first time, yeah, it wouldn't change my statement, but she tried to act as if she was saying something different just a second ago. Gwen, you're talking in figure eights, not just circles. You're doing figure
no,
eight now.
No, Jason, yeah, I don't really want to even continue anymore because
I don't like the
rape scenario that you use my name in. I just don't really like a lot of it.
I
so
didn't use your name.
Yes, you did. You said if Gwendolyn was raped, that's what you said. And you know, I don't.
I didn't say Gwendolyn should
I don't,
be.
It's very
don't
clear
be.
What I. It's
I
very clear what
Gwendolyn
I said, Jason.
Be. I didn't say Gwendolyn should be. I said Gwen should be very concerned about that as a female in society.
You said if Gwen is raped. No, then you said if Gwendolyn is raped. And that maybe we should reconsider. Why would we do that? You're acting as if the only option is to castrate somebody.
I don't
you
think
know,
I...
And like, it's not you...
Okay,
you
Gwen.
Know, I just...
Gwen.
You know, you're being very
now,
nasty
you know,
right
now. Say, now, you know about filibustering with people. It doesn't make them look good. Mona was saying...
You know...
First of all,
I've already said what it is.
That.
I didn't get anything Gwen, wrong. I'm not wrong about anything,
all,
so...
First of all, I'm not going to shout over you to be heard on my own broadcast. Second of all, I didn't make you look bad. I just had you explain what you thought, and that's making you look bad. Third of all, Mona was saying something.
Here's where you're wrong. If eugenics is improving the quality of human life regarding genetic defects, how does that correlate with castration?
Well, castration of criminal. Castration of a criminal.
Yes,
first
of
thing
a criminal.
You have to do is, the first thing that you have to do is you have to start allowing into the pool of potential first of all, you have to move it from being voluntary to involuntary. But at that point, we are no longer talking about castration, and that has nothing to do with what you're doing to criminals, because that's as stupid and as silly as saying that Nazi Germany never would have had concentration camps if we had never had prisons in the first place. What Hitler was doing was not inspired by prisons. It was just a mechanism that he used to round up all the Jews and start to exterminate them. If you had never had a prison in the history of the existence of the world, you still would have had Dachau and Auschwitz. And to sit up and say that prisons were the first step to Dachau, that's silly. That's crazy. And it's just as crazy to say castration of criminals is the first step to wholesale eugenics. Because you had plenty of attacks on black men and sexual mutilation of black men before we even started talking about this. As a matter of fact, you had more of it a century ago than you have today. So what changed? What happened? They were doing it back then before you even had a law for it. You've got less of it today now that you've got laws for it. And no explanation whatsoever of why it is that we have less of it today now that we have laws for it. Why do we have less of it today, Gwen, now that we have laws for it?
Well, I guess that would be because castrating was a part of a lot of, I guess it's lost. It's people don't do it so much when they commit lynchings, because that was something that took part. You know, when they killed young black men, when they lynched young black men. So I guess I don't know why white people stopped doing that.
Yeah,
you know,
but I mean,
don't
the court system did plenty of lynching too, Gwen. Did you not know that? So
that's not really considered
court,
what a lynching is. The court
the
doesn't
court
really do that.
Wait a minute. So you think that a judge, this is what I mean by black females would not say dumb things if they were subject to the same court system as black males. When a judge hands down an unjust sentence, saying that this man is innocent, how many black men in the United States have been executed by either by hanging, electrocution, or lethal injection? So the fact that a judge did it somehow in your mind constitutes a difference than a lynch mob?
Well, I'm talking about the definition of lynching. I'm not saying that it's not wrong.
I'm talking about the definition of lynching also. I'm talking about the definition of lynching also.
I think the definition of lynching is when it's done without legal, not in legal realms.
So as I just said just a moment ago, Mona, do you see what I'm putting up with here? As I said
just a moment ago. You said when a judge orders down to an innocent
mind,
man, so that's legal.
Okay, Gwen, I was talking, and that's the last time I'm going to say I was talking, because you can hear me just fine, and you're not making a point that counters anything. As I just said just a moment ago, that you tried to say it was different, now you're coming back to it again. As I just said just a moment ago, in your mind, it changes the dynamic simply because it is a judge carrying out the unjust action and not the mob of white bigots down the street, right? So if it's a judge in a, quote, courtroom, then that changes things.
Well, you say words mean things, and that is not what a lynching is. A lynching is not through legal terms. It's not with a judge.
Oh, a lynching,
that's exactly what it means.
A lynching is an unjust punishment of someone. That is a lynching. A lynching is when you are unjustly persecuting someone.
Mm-hmm.
That you have found someone, just because he's a judge, that makes him not a part of mob justice? Just because he's a judge, that's it less of a problem? Go tell that to
it's,
the Jews
it's the
in
same
Germany.
Thing.
Go tell that to the it's Jews just... in Germany. You need to go watch a movie called To Kill a Mockingbird, miss. I think that'll help change things for you. It's not. It doesn't have a black female now. It's not a black female, by the way. Boo Radley is not a black female, so you might not feel as sympathetic towards him as you would if it was a black male. If more black females found themselves lynched and shot and executed and facing life sentences, they wouldn't talk about the court system with such reverence. They would be talking about it the way that we as black males do. Because understand something. You can't find a Jew on earth who will defend a single courtroom of Nazi Germany. They, as a matter of fact, Nuremberg lumped them all together, by the way. Nuremberg and international law does not recognize, quote, justice doled out by tyrannical regimes. It does not recognize, quote, legal proceedings executed by tyrants and unjust tribunals. It doesn't recognize those. Saddam Hussein didn't get to say, well, I executed all these political prisoners, but it was all legal because I was the one who swung the gavel. The United States invaded. He was found guilty and executed. And one of the crimes against him was torture. And who were the people he was torturing? The people that they had sentenced to it in their courtrooms. And that's how we knew who they were, because we had all the court dockets that said who they were. And he went to the gallows for all those people too. Now, I think you were telling us all about the distinction between a mob and the judge. That one is a, quote, legal proceeding, and the other one is not.
Yes, well, that's what it is, Jason. So, you know, I'm not sure what you want me to say. That's what it is. If the jury speaks and that's what it is, then that's what the verdict is, and it's called a just verdict. And whether people can know that it's not right or it's not true, but it still goes down in the law books, and that's an execution. And I'm just saying that lynching, the definition of it is described by mob mentality without going in front of a court, without being tried. And I believe it specifically in some definition says without being tried or seen in front of a court. And so, of course, they do that. So that's why I'm saying what I said about the eugenics, because they've been doing that. And I would hate to see anything like that brought back. They're doing that in California to women in prison now. So if it was legal, I would just assume that they're, or it may still be legal there. But I would assume that it's going to happen to more women, specifically black women.
Yes, but the problem with what you're saying is that by your standard, we could never stop anybody from committing a crime anywhere, because we can invoke the slippery slope argument to fight any punishment of any person for any crime under any circumstances anywhere. Because any action that you take on this earth could potentially, you're talking about what could potentially happen, but we can't go live our lives based off of potential. By that standard, you should be allowed to spend as much money as you want, because you could potentially win a lottery this weekend, and that will solve all your issues. So we shouldn't worry that you spent your children's childhood your children's college tuition or that you spent the rent money because you came back home with a handful of lottery tickets. And potentially, you're a millionaire. Potentially. But you're not talking about what is. You're just talking about what could potentially happen and that we should not take action because of what could potentially occur. And you stepped over the bodies. And you stepped over the bodies of all these dead children killed by all these single mothers so that you could tell us about what could potentially happen, not to the children. We stepped over their bodies. We want to talk about what could potentially happen to the women.
Well, I don't think that I don't think I said anything about not doing anything about child molesters or anything like that. So,
but if you're making the argument that this could lead to eugenics, then that is speaking against it. If you're saying it's a slippery slope, then you're saying we shouldn't do this.
Against that punishment, not against any punishment.
Against that punishment.
Against that specific punishment, not prison.
Against that punishment, not prison. So we should just put them in prison.
Yes, that's one option.
Okay. I think you were saying something earlier about segregation.
Mm-hmm.
Being a form of eugenics.
Yes.
I think everyone will remember that I specifically predicted not very long ago. I said, you're going to end up at saying that some forms of eugenics are better than others.
I think if you use it in the right way.
To get here now, did it? That took a few minutes to get here. That train was extremely fast. So
Jason,
I
never said that it wasn't. I don't get what you're trying to do.
You're not in favor of surgical or chemical eugenics. You are in favor of physical, institutional eugenics.
As in, like prisons, not things that for better. You're talking about prisons and things like that. Yes.
Yes.
Prisons, yes. If that's considered eugenics, if that can be brought into it, then I guess that would be, to me, that would be acceptable, unless someone had a better idea.
Okay, so you are in favor of eugenics by means of isolating these people and segregating them from society, because you said that segregation is a way of carrying out eugenics.
And other forms of segregation too, yes.
Okay. Now, do you know how much it costs us to keep a person incarcerated?
A whole lot, from what I've heard. Hundreds of thousands a year.
Not quite, actually. More like tens of thousands. So what you're saying is that we should all be saddled for 10 years being in prison, even at $100,000 a year, which is less than that, but even at $50,000 a year, you're saying that we should be saddled with $500,000 of prison costs.
Are you going to castrate them and then let them go?
Okay. Well, you're saying that we should be saddled with $500,000 of prison costs. And by the way, you never did tell us what kind of sentence you thought would be appropriate either. If you don't like castration, what prison sentence would you like?
For what you described, the rape of a child, a small child.
Okay, I'm referring to if we're going to institute the same thing for people who are abusing their children. What would be a reasonable sentence?
For people who abuse their children... I'm not sure if there should be a mandatory minimum or something, but I guess it would have to depend on the level and the type of abuse and things like that. But
do you also
think that would have to be by the case?
Apply for sex offenders? that if they molest children, that we give them lesser if they molest them with their hands and more if they have intercourse with them? Do you believe that that's the way it should be for them?
Well, not so much that cut and dry. I pretty much think that they should be put away or dealt with or find the right thing to do with them. That's why I can understand why a woman or a man would
not giving them.
Do I think it should be based on their level of? No, I think child molester, I think that's something that a lot of people can't recover from. So no, I think that whatever sentence should be lifelong.
Okay, so you believe that they can't recover from being a child molester, but can recover from being a repeat child abuser.
No, I didn't say that, but
okay,
so
why is it you're not just saying that the sentences should be the same? You're trying to split hairs here because you know that that sentence is going to disproportionately affect females like yourself, and you're trying to protect females, not the children. Now, for the offenses where males are going to be the primary targets, well, she's saying hang them high, but for the one for females, can't we be understanding about this?
She
probably had a bad year. Now, the men, they can't be helped. They can't recover from that. But the females, I think they can be rehabilitated. Yeah.
No, I don't think that a man spanking a child, someone may see that as abuse, whereas they might not see a woman spanking a child. You know, there's a lot of inconsistencies and things like that. So I'm not sure. If you're talking about abuse as in it's blatant abuse that we all can identify as abuse, then yes, there has to be harsh civil punishment.
That all can identify as abuse.
Yes, where it's abuse, it's not just a spanking or not someone,
if
you know,
a child is allowed to grow up ignorant and to funk out of school in the fifth grade, that is going to cripple him for the rest of his life. Why are we giving that type of special dispensation but saying that sexually screwing up our kids that'll affect them for the rest of their lives, that one is worse than socially destroying the children for the rest of their lives?
Well,
you don't want that social one because it's the females who are primarily responsible for that one. You're trying to find them an out. But for the one that men are primarily responsible for, you don't want any outs for that one. Don't look now, Gwen, but that feminist thing is showing its head again.
No, I'm just, you know, I do think there is a difference between having inappropriate actions with anybody who's under 18 or someone who's under 13. There's different levels of inappropriate and molestation and rape and things like that.
So there are different levels of, so you would agree that there are different levels of molestation.
Yes, I think I agree there's different levels of it.
Okay, explain to us what the different levels would be.
Well, when I'm looking at molestation, just be touching somebody in a way they don't want you or inappropriate way. And so if you're talking about sexually, and when I talk about children, that to me is 12 and under. So if I start getting into that type of realm, then that's different than someone considering a 16-year-old to be a child, you know. And so I'm looking at it and, you know, touching children of different ages, though it is very wrong and sick, you know, it depending on what's going on, you know, it's a difference. The difference between raping a 2-year-old and touching a 16-year-old.
Okay,
you know,
but you're defining molesting as if you're touching on someone of a certain age then. Physical contact
yes,
with
child
of a certain age. Okay. Physical contact with a child of a certain age.
As far as child molestation, you can molest anybody, but when we're talking about illegally and sexually molesting, I'm seeing that as being people under 18 in a lot of states, some states 16, and then when it's a child, when it's pedophilia, that's under 13. And so I do think they're different levels.
Man, we don't have to go around the world with it. A pedophile is somebody that's physically touching children under the age of 12.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you're saying it's different if they're 13 or older. that you classify that differently. Okay, I'll accept that. Now, Gwen, by the way, let's just say that it's your 9-year-old daughter and the 3-8-year-old guy down the street is sending her text messages saying all the things he wants to do to her little body.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure I'd want his testicles
I'm
removed
saying
by me or my husband.
Do we classify that as pedophilia also?
Yes.
Because you said there were different levels, and when I asked you what they were, you said touching on them. I said, well, this guy's not touching them, so he's okay, right?
Oh, no, not limited.
Oh,
not limited
okay,
to that.
Okay, the net got bigger again. Yeah, the net
got
bigger.
No, I mean, we're talking about child molestation.
Rubber, so it can, you don't, okay, so you would not qualify that as molestation.
I don't know if sending text messages, I don't know if I would say that's molestation, but that's,
okay.
You know, it's
well,
intense.
Fine. That's fine. You may not qualify that as molestation also. Now, when we're going to talk about eugenics, then we need to have a stable definition of it. Because by the way that you are trying to use those terms, it doesn't actually mean anything. It can mean any punishment of any kind for any offense. The way that you are using it, it could be used under anything. There is nothing that would not qualify as eugenics based on the way you used it. Nothing at all. Everything would qualify as eugenics, right down to taking their home, taking their PlayStation away from them. That could be conflated into eugenics also. A slippery slope. And that is why we cannot talk about the potential, because the devil hides in the details. And if you're going to only talk about what could potentially occur, then by definition, we must protect people from what could potentially happen. Now, either we're going to choose to protect them from what hasn't happened, but potentially could, or we protect them from what is actually occurring. Eugenics is something that you impose on people against their will. It does not matter if there is a prior statute or not. There was no prior statute for mandatory minimums for drug dealing, but guess what? Black males are there anyway. So they don't need a slippery slope. As West Indian Archie said in the Malcolm X movie, there ain't nothing you can do to keep them off of you. When they get ready to come for your black ass, they're coming for it. And there ain't nothing you can do to stop them. If they want to start sterilizing y'all, they will do it. Just go ask Israel what they've done to African women. They don't need a slippery slope, miss. They got power, wealth, and influence. The only reason they haven't done it to you yet is because they don't want to do it to you. If they want to go straight from black women can have as many bastard babies as they want to black women are allowed to have no babies and must be sterilized, you will be there tomorrow morning. Not tomorrow evening. Tomorrow morning. You'll go to sleep tonight, able to crank out the bastard babies. You'll wake up tomorrow not able to get an air kiss. Don't need a slippery slope. Slippery slope are conspiratorial words used by fearful people and superstitious people. For people with power and influence, they're only concerned about numbers and facts. Therefore, invoking the term eugenics does not apply because, number one, you're using it incorrectly out of context. And number two, they don't need a slippery slope to do what you're talking about anyway. They could do it right now. We've got all kinds of laws that we all went to sleep with one evening and woke up the next day, but that wasn't legal yesterday. We don't even have anything in place for that. Case in point, Obamacare. First, it was okay for you not to have insurance. Now it's against the damn law. You went to sleep one evening, and you woke up the next day, and there it was. No slippery slope required. Whatever situation they want you to be in, you will be in it. They don't need a slippery slope. Bill Clinton dropped 3 strikes on us in one day. Mona will tell you, it went down just like that. 1 minute mandatory minimum was just in a few states. Bill Clinton made it national in one day. No slippery slope required. There was not a precursor to three strikes. That was just some stuff they made up off the top of their heads. When they are ready to come for you, they will come for you. Only thing we're doing right now is denying ourselves something that would actually help us. By that definition, we shouldn't have any punishments for anything. They can all be concluded as eugenics, genocide, whatever you want to call it.
You know, I just don't think that it is. The thing is that I guess from what I said, and it sounds like it's not about ruling out eugenics for me, you know. It's about, like I said, you know, it's a slippery slope. So what I see is black people supporting it. And so I'm saying, all I'm saying is be careful what we support, because, you know, people made the drug laws and the crack laws
fear. We're out of time here. Blog Talk is about to catch you. But the problem with your slippery slope argument is that black people do not create slippery slopes.